We'll call the meeting to order and welcome to this municipal council meeting Tuesday, January 24th. I'd like to acknowledge that we're in Mi'kma'ki, the ancestral and unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq people. Are there any announcements, acknowledgments, or recognitions? Announcements, acknowledgments, or recognitions? Seeing none, is there anyone here for public input? And I don't see anyone there. Approval of the agenda as circulated. I think I have a question before we do.
I'd like to add an agenda item, if I might. It's very, very general.
We have to have
information items can be added.
Information?
It's a request for information.
So that requires 2/3 majority.
Okay. So we move forward with the approval of the agenda, and then we add?
You'd handle hers first.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, go ahead, Councillor Statton.
Thank you. Because I've seen some things, and one of them was the tourist information tax, in the paper that our public correspondence person put there, and we didn't have any discussion on it, I'd like to request that maybe we have a copy of the mayor's wardens meetings, mayor CO wardens meetings, distributed to council. It's a request for a copy of those minutes.
So there are no minutes.
There's no minutes
taken?
There
are no minutes.
Wow.
No. There are no decisions as such.
Yeah.
It all has to come back to the individual councils for approval.
Well, that's what I thought, and when
so
I saw
the discussion
that was quite surprised.
The discussion, I don't know what you're referring to.
It was in the Bridgewater Progress Bulletin. The levy.
Okay, the levy is actually something that this council was working on for 5 or 6 years. The province introduced legislation that allows it to happen, is what has transformed here since our last. I'm not sure what was how it was worded or what was. Yeah, up to 3%. So that, it's actually a piece of legislation is what it is.
That's okay. I understood there was another council in the municipality, in Lunenburg County, I should say, that does get copy of minutes of the meeting. So does some municipalities take minutes and others don't?
There is no
minute taking.
Okay, I'll reach out to that council and ask her how she's getting the minutes. Because she definitely has them. So I'll reach out and ask. Anyway, thank you for...
No, but
thank you.
There has never been anyone that has taken minutes at these
okay.
meetings.
Okay.
No.
I'll reach out and ask.
Yeah. So I would ask for the approval of the agenda as circulated. Moved by Councillor Wynot, seconded by Councillor Greek. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Any business arising from the minutes? Approval of the minutes, sorry, of December the 13th, first. Moved by Deputy Mayor Hubley, seconded by Councillor Haysom. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Approval of the minutes of January 10th, 2023. Moved by Councillor Oikle. Seconded by Councillor Vino. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Is there any business arising from the minutes now? Can't have any business arising from them before we have them. Nothing. And there are no awarding of tenders, no scheduled presentation. Consideration of correspondence. And 9.1, and we have the letters been circulated? Yes? Okay, we will go to the draft letter, read the Tourist Accommodation Act. And I would ask our CAO if he would walk us through this one. And this is in relation to the regulations around campgrounds.
Thank you, Mayor. So as part of our review of the Cherry Hill RV park development, we learned that the Tourist Accommodation Act, which was enacted in 1994-95, did in fact impose a number of requirements on the owner-operator of a camping establishment. and I've laid out the majority of those requirements in the letter. And as you can see, it was quite a comprehensive scheme, which provided licensing, reporting, inspection by an accommodation officer. They had to have construction and plan requirements, including the location of camping establishments in relation to the highway, the location of any roads, the size of the individual campsites, the location and separate plan for service buildings, the location of water system and outlets, the location and type of sewage system, written approval from the Department of Environment for water distribution system, sewer collection and disposal, as well as garbage disposal, written approval from the municipality regarding zoning. The minimum size requirement for a campsite was 1,200 square feet. Road frontage requirements for campsites were a minimum of 20 feet, and they had parking requirements. There was a provision of adequate and potable supply of water approved by Department of Environment. They had to have annual analysis of their water quality. There was direction given regarding the central washrooms and showers if they're provided, the sewage disposal systems if provided, approval of garbage collection by the accommodation officer, approval of the refuse or garbage containers by the accommodation officer, restrictions regarding campfires and cooking, the publishing of campground rules, and they had to have staffing, at least one competent adult in attendance at all times. This comprehensive regulatory scheme was in place from 1994-95 to 2020. And in 2020, the province proclaimed and enforced the Tourist Accommodation Registration Act, which is primarily a registration system focused on requiring hosts and platform operators to register and for platform operators to maintain records. The Tourist Accommodation Registration Act only applies to fixed roof accommodations, so it does not apply to campgrounds or RV sites. And so there's a gap in the legislation, and it hasn't been replaced with any other act. So we've pointed out the issue. We've pointed out the gap. We pointed out that in our particular municipality, which is not a planned municipal unit, it will be years before the entire municipality is covered by a municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw. And that means for the next number of years, there are no provincial or municipal regulations in place governing the development of camping grounds and RV parks. The letter requests that the province take immediate action to reverse its decision to eliminate the regulatory scheme that governed the development of camping grounds and RV parks, as was found in the Tourist Accommodation Act, and to reintroduce the regulatory scheme in some fashion, either as part of the Tourist Accommodation Registration Act or through standalone registration. So that's the draft letter that we'd like to send to the Premier. And although it's not noted, I would add that we include Minister Pat Dunn as the Minister of Community, Culture, Heritage and Tourism, who is the minister responsible for the Tourist Accommodation Registration Act, as well as copies to our local MLAs.
Councillor Greek.
My one comment on the letter is the CC, there's an incorrect name of an MLA.
Susan. Should be Susan Corcoran Greek. Susan. Corcoran Greek. Okay. Questions? Comments? So I have been speaking, I actually did speak to the Premier about this. I have spoken to our local MLAs about this. I have spoken to the Minister for Municipal Affairs about this. I have also, I know you said to CC the Honorable Pat Dunn. I would like to see all of the cabinet CC'd on this, because I think that it's an issue that could arise in any area, and that way people would be apprised of what's happening. So, comments? I want to thank staff for their research on this. It's definitely been a lot of work to get to this point, and we will see where it has happened. But I don't think there has been any other municipality to date that has... I guess, have had a campground move forward since in an area where it was opposed and with the regulations, without regulations. So I'm thinking that we're probably the first here to see this happen, is what we are. Councillor Staton, without any regulations around campgrounds?
Well, there's one in Upper Northfield. I guess maybe it's West Northfield. There's one around Mushmush Lake that was established just in the last 2 years. And it was in the works way before when these regulations were in place, and they were too strong to make it viable. But since the regulations have lifted, it's now in force, and it's an operating campground on the lake. It's not hurting anybody. It's there. They've got washrooms and water and the whole nine yards, but it's there, and it's used all summer long.
But is it an actual campground or someone just renting spots out?
Yeah, that's someone renting. What campgrounds are?
They take on different approaches. I guess some have land leases with seasonal dwellings, but when I think of campgrounds, I think of being able to call a number and being able to go there camping in a lot of cases, or being able to take, at least having an opportunity to take.
That's what this is, and there are some mobile trailers on the site on a year-round basis, but mostly it's come and go. But it is one on Mushmush Lake.
Okay. Not where I live, but...
Any further discussion on the letter that has been drafted to go to the Premier and Cabinet? If not, all those in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
It was not a motion. It's just direction to staff.
Sorry.
Report.
Yeah. Do we want a motion? We do want a motion. I think we want a motion. We're way ahead of ourselves here today for some reason. I got to back up. I got to go and rewind. Would someone like to make a motion? And I think we're all in that same boat because no one questioned me. So, Councillor Hasem, would you be prepared to make that motion?
Certainly. Thank you to Her Honor Mayor Bolivar Getson and members of Council. I move that Council accept the draft letter regarding Tourist Accommodation Act as circulated at Council here today.
And forward to.
And forward to, in addition to the Premier, to MLAs for the area, the Honorable Becky Druin and the Honorable Susan Corkum Greek, as well as the Minister for Municipal Affairs and Housing, and CC the whole Cabinet as it could arise in any area. And I so move.
Moved by Councillor Hasem, seconded by Councillor Bell. Now, is there any further discussion on the motion?
Question
called for. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion carried. We will move down to the draft letter, Bear Land Condominiums. And again, I would ask our CAO if he would walk us through this one.
Thank you, Mayor. So this letter is coming out of our experience dealing with the Bear Land condominium on Second Peninsula, where we learned that a phased development Bear Land condominium is exempt from our subdivision bylaw and can proceed with very little input or requirements from the municipality. So this letter is meant to address that. So we write that we'd like to bring to the registrar, to the premier and minister responsible, to their attention, a significant deficiency that we've identified with respect to the Condominium Act, and in particular, the provisions related to the phased development Bear Land condominiums, pointing out that municipal units have the authority to adopt subdivision bylaws to regulate the creation of lots within the municipality. And a subdivision bylaw is a detailed regulatory scheme that establishes all the requirements related to the subdivision of land, including but not limited to lot size, including minimum size for lots not serviced by central sewer, road frontage, lot shapes, road design standards, public and private, water supply, sewage disposal, and public open space. We then point out that the Condominium Act provides that a phased development condominium is exempt from the subdivision approval requirements of the Municipal Government Act if the phased development condominium meets the requirements, if any, provided by the regulations. The Act goes on to state that the acceptance of registration of a phased development condominium constitutes a subdivision of land and creates a lot as described in the description of that phase, and that upon acceptance for registration of each subsequent phase of a phase development condominium, the subsequent phase is consolidated into one lot with all phases of the phase development condominium previously accepted for registration. The issue from a municipal perspective is that the subdivision and consolidation of land in a phase development condominium, as permitted under the Condominium Act, takes place outside of the subdivision approval process as established by the municipality in the subdivision bylaw and permits developers to avoid all of the requirements contained in the subdivision bylaw. For instance, our subdivision bylaw provides minimum design standards for private roads, which ensure, among other things, that private roads are accessible by emergency vehicles. A phased development bareland condominium is not required to adhere to the private road standards, as it is exempt from the subdivision bylaw, and consequently, we have no way to ensure that the road or driveway into the development is suitable for emergency vehicles. Similarly, while our subdivision bylaw provides minimum lot sizes for lots not serviced by central sewer services, no such requirement exists for lots created as part of a phased development bareland condominium, and we have no way to enforce our minimum lot sizes. We'd also point out that unlike a traditional subdivision developer who is required to provide a 2% cash requirement for public space, there is no provision for the 2% cash requirement for phased development bareland condominiums. We're concerned that developers are able to avoid the requirements of the subdivision bylaw, which have been purposely adopted by municipal council, by choosing to create phased development bareland condominium. In particular, we find it problematic that developers can avoid our private road design standards by opting for a phased development bareland condominium with a driveway that is not required to meet any design standard whatsoever. While we agree that the province should be responsible for the governance and management of condominium corporations, where the Condominium Act purports to engage in the creation and consolidation of lots, as it does with phased development bareland condominiums, regard should be given to the local subdivision requirements to ensure that developers of phased development bareland condominiums are held to the same standards as traditional land developers that create subdivisions. By way of a solution, we're requesting that the province amend the Condominium Act to either A, remove the exemption from the subdivision approval requirements as stated in Section 8.1, or B, incorporate local municipal subdivision requirements and the regulations as contemplated in Section 8.1. And then we look forward to hearing from you on this very important matter. So I avoided the word loophole, but I think I addressed it with the sort of the substance of the letter. But the message that we're trying to get out is that bareland condominiums should be held to a similar standard as subdivisions and the requirements of our subdivision bylaw, and that there is a mechanism through which the province can do that by adopting it in the regulations, which is already contemplated in the Act. And I have a Teams meeting with the Registrar of Condominiums Thursday afternoon to discuss how they address all of these various issues when they're looking at putting in place the phased-in bareland condominium developments.
Questions? Councillor Statton.
I have a comment, and I think this is happening because our subdivision bylaw is too restrictive. And I think that we, as a municipality, and I've said it before, really need to look at that subdivision bylaw and make it less restrictive so people can develop their land with some restrictions. But the way it is now, there's people with large tracts of land that cannot develop them. So we are restricting development of housing and whatever economic impact that might bring to us by our subdivision bylaw. So we're asking that this Condominium Act be included or be as restrictive or have restrictions of subdivision bylaw, and I don't think this is the time to do it because it does allow someone with a large tract of land to develop it outside of our subdivision bylaw because what we have is too restrictive. So I won't be supporting this letter.
I think that we have two things here that we're really discussing. The Bareland Condominium Act definitely should have some criteria around road development. Whether our road subdivision bylaw road standards are too high is something that we can address. We cannot address the Bareland Condominium Act in council. We can change our standards. And that was, we had a healthy discussion at our policy and strategy meeting around our standards of roads and the inability, I guess, to see any private roads constructed since our subdivision bylaw. So I think that it's important that we do revisit that, but I think that that is outside of the Bear Land Condominium Act, what we're saying, because I would hope that we would not change our subdivision bylaw so that we would eliminate standards for emergency vehicles and garbage trucks and those type of services being able to be accessed, because I think that is very, very important. And for 2 years, we sat through a lot of public input, and that was first and foremost from our residents and them being able to be accessed in the event of an emergency as well. So I know we have to balance that of development and that of our residents as well, but our safety standards, definitely we want to make sure that we are able to get those in. I think that we do have room for improvement, definitely, on our subdivision bylaw, and I think that we're seeing that now. It's been in place. It doesn't appear to be working, is what we're seeing, and that's on council to make those changes to make sure that we put something in place that developers can develop, but that we can still meet our safety standards that our people, our residents, depend on us to do. Councillor Vino.
Thank you. I just wanted to reiterate that this has been a hot topic in my district, and thank you to our CEO for the work that was put into this. This is something that's outside our strategic priorities and doesn't just happen in an hour. I realize the work that went into this, and I think it's a step in the right direction, and I'm looking forward to going back to my residents to say that as council, we brought this forth, and we'll see how the motion goes, and let them know that. So thank you. And then also on this letter, just correcting the spelling,
yes,
as Councillor Greek mentioned.
And again, I would recommend that it go to all cabinets so people are aware that it is out there. Further discussion? Councillor Oikle.
Yes, just in relation to what Councillor Staton said, when I read it over, it was saying that we're, and just you can correct me, are we asking that the Bear Land Condominium Act be subjective to our and any municipality's subdivision bylaw that they presently have?
So the two suggestions, if they remove the exemption contained in Section 8.1, then the phased-in Bear Land Condominium would be subject to the subdivision bylaw of whatever municipality it's in, so that you created an equal playing field to the extent that you can between traditional land developers and Bear Land Condominium developers. The alternative is to put in the regulations either specific requirements from the province or incorporate by reference the subdivision requirements of the municipality, which is more work for the province. But I think what's important is that the message is create the equal playing field, and if council feels that if the subdivision bylaw and the requirements in that are what's endorsed by municipal council, then those should apply to subdivision, to deem subdivisions under the Condominium Act.
Supplementary.
Go ahead, Councillor Oikel.
I'm just wondering if adding what you had just said in there, because I don't believe it's in here, to ask the province that they do the work instead of finding. I don't know. I didn't see that part in there. Is it in there?
So on the last full paragraph at Section B, incorporate local municipal subdivision requirements in the regulations.
Right.
So that would be the province figuring out how to amend their regulations.
They're not our regulations.
But isn't that saying, you can just use ours subdivision rather than creating your own regulations for the Condominium Act?
So we're just suggesting they incorporate them into the regulations. How they decide to do it would be up to them.
But I guess our biggest concern here is that they are taking those safety standards into effect that our residents did raise during our subdivision changes that we made 2 years ago. And as I said to Councillor Statton, we definitely do need to revisit our subdivision bylaw. We should recognize that at this point, or we need to do something, whether it has to be opened up or how we go about doing it, but there seems to be some barriers in place that are causing developers grief. And at a time when we really need development housing units in our municipality. And we have been very pro-development here at Osprey Village and throughout, so we want to continue to be able to do that to meet the needs of the area.
And I guess our expectation would be that the province would reach out to us after receiving the letter to discuss it in more detail. And then at the same time, we'll reach out to some other units to see what their thoughts are on this issue. But it doesn't seem to be something that other units are experiencing. I haven't heard any other units have this issue or bring this issue up.
Any further comments? If not, I would entertain a motion, as we had for the other one. And Councillor Vino, if you'd be prepared to move that motion.
Yes. To Her Honor Mayor Bolivar-Getson and members of Council, I move that we send a letter to Premier Houston and all Cabinet Ministers copying Becky Druham and
Susan. They would be included.
They're included in that. Regarding our concerns with the Condominium Act.
Would someone second it by Councillor? I think why not come in ahead there. Any discussion on the motion? Question called for. All those in favor? Opposed? Opposed is Councillor Statton. Motion is carried. And again, I want to thank staff for all the effort that they have put into both of those letters. We will move down to recommendations from committees and boards. Policy and Strategy Committee, 10.1.1. And I would ask if Deputy Mayor Hubley would be prepared to move that motion, please.
Yes, thank you. To Her Honor Mayor Bolivar-Getson and members of Council, I move that Municipal Council accept the recommendation of the Policy and Strategy Committee and approve the tender call for March 6, 2023, and further approve the use of tender call for all future sale proceedings. And I so move.
Moved by Deputy Mayor Hubley, seconded by Councillor Moore. Discussion on the motion. Councillor Haysom.
Thank you very much. I just want to say again, as I stated previously during our policy and strategy committee meeting, I do believe the tax sales should be held in person. I feel this will just provide a greater benefit to our residents. So I won't be voting in favor of the motion, but you all already knew that. Thank you.
Councillor Statton.
Yeah, I too am a little concerned about this and the word future. I don't like to see that because that doesn't give us an option on a yearly basis to make the change if we want to. So if you want to take the word future out, I'm in favor of the motion, but I'm not in favor of the word future in there. I can amend it if you want.
So if you would like to put an amendment on the floor, yes, you can do that. We would vote on the amendment before we voted on the actual motion then.
Thank you. I would like to move that Council amend the motion to accept the recommendation to approve the tender call for March 6, 2023, and further approve, and that's it, and not approve the tender for future years at this time.
So you would like to see the motion stop at 2023, so, and further approve the use of tender call for all future tax proceedings you would like to see removed.
Got it.
Is there a seconder for that? Seconded by Councillor DeLong. Discussion on the amendment only. Councillor Oikle.
Is there a reason why, if it was there, that we couldn't change it again in the future? Because we're obviously changing the other one.
Our Deputy CAO, Alex DeMerrick.
Yeah, Council can absolutely go back on that. The staff recommendation, your finance department was coming forward and saying, we've been doing this for a number of years. We'd like to just proceed with this as our standard procedure. So the motion doesn't prevent council deciding you want to rediscuss it and change it again, for example, a couple years down the road if you have concerns. But the recommendation was, we've been using this process, we'd like to keep this process.
Discussion on the amendment. Councillor Statton.
Just to clarify what Alex says and to answer Wendy's question, if this motion passes, the original motion passes, then staff won't come back and ask to go to tender each year. It'll automatically go to tender.
That is correct.
Just to clarify that.
Yep, that is correct. So that it would be council to bring it back to the table if they want a change is made to it. Yes. Councillor Bell.
By removing it, it would make it easier to add it on a future year than it would be to remove it. So if it's not there, then each year the council of the day could decide. But if we put it there today, you almost have to negotiate in our future times that we decide on the sale. So I will support the amendment.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Councillor Oigle.
So basically out of sight, out of mind. If we don't see it or hear about it, then the council of the future won't know about it.
And that is correct. The staff recommendation is that we proceed with online tax sales. And if you would want to change that into the future, you would need to bring it back to a future council meeting. Ready for the question? This is the question on the amendment to remove any further and further approve the use of tender call for all future tax sale proceedings. So all those in favor of the amendment? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. So we will go back to the regular or to the motion as amended, and that municipal council accept the recommendation of the Policy and Strategy Committee and approve the tender call for March 6, 2023. So are you ready for the question?
Right.
Question called for. All those in favor? Opposed? Opposed is Councillor Haysom. Motion is carried. I had the motion on by Deputy Mayor Hoobley and Councillor Moore. Don't do that to me again. Please. Okay, we will move down to 10.1.2, Visitor Information Center Lease, and I would ask Councillor Bell if he would be prepared to move that motion.
Thank you, Your Honor. To Her Honor, Mayor Bolivar-Getson and members of Council, I move that Municipal Council accept the recommendation of the Policy Strategy Committee and provide notice that the municipality of the District of Lunenburg will not be renewing the lease on the Visitor Information Center located at 125 Cornwall Road, Blockhouse, Nova Scotia, when it expires on April 20th, 2023. I so move.
So moved by Councillor Bell. Is there a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Haysom. Discussion on the motion. Councillor Greek.
I'm not going to be in favor of this motion. I would really like to see a brick and mortar VIC. But after our discussion last week at Policy and Strategy, I understand everyone else's feelings. But I will be opposed to this motion.
Any further discussion on the motion?
Right.
Question called for. All those in favor? Opposed? Opposed is Councillor Greek. Motion is carried. We will move down to the second part of that motion. And I would ask Councillor Wynot if he would be prepared to move that.
To Her Honor, Mayor Bolivar-Getson, the members of Council, I move that Municipal Council accept the recommendation of the Policy and Strategy Committee and provide direction to staff to prepare a budget accordingly for the upcoming fiscal year to create improvements to municipalities' online and mobile tourism presence. And I shall move.
Moved by Councillor Wynot, seconded by Councillor Vino. Discussion on the motion. Question called for. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. We will move down to the appointment for the Lunenburg County Accessibility Advisory Committee. And Councillor Moore, are you still on that?
Yes.
Yes. So I'd ask Councillor Moore if she'd be prepared to move that motion.
To Her Honor, Mayor Bolivar-Getson, members of council. I move that Municipal Council accept the recommendation of the Lunenburg County Accessibility Committee and appoint Jean Fay to the LCAAC for a 3-year term. And I so move.
Moved by Councillor Moore. Is there a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Haysom. Discussion on the motion. Question called for. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. We will move down to 11.1.1. These are staff reports coming back from the Planning and Development, and this is annual budget of the Rocky Lake Charge Area. And I believe that this is an area in Councillor Oikel's district. And again, this is for an area charge to residents to collect rates for road maintenance fees. So I would ask Councillor Oikel if she would be prepared to move this motion.
Certainly. To Her Honor, Mayor Bolivar-Getson and members of council, I move that Municipal Council approve the 2023-24 annual budget for the Rocky Lake Charge Area as follows. $300 per lot for full-time residents, $200 per lot for seasonal residents, and $100 per vacant lot. And I so move.
Moved by Councillor Oikel. Is there a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Wynot. Discussion on the motion. Again, this is within our policy for ROTUS groups to apply for us to collect these rates for them.
Question.
Hearing none. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. We'll move down to 11.1.2. Again, this is similar. It's the Broom Lane Property Owners Association, and again, they are looking to collect private road charges or an
it's
appeal. Sorry, this is an appeal.
Deal. Yes, it's different.
And I would ask Councillor Greek if she would be prepared to move this motion.
Thank you. To Her Honor, Mayor Bolivar-Getson and members of council, I move that Municipal Council not approve the request of Monty and Judith Wolf, residents of Broom Lane, asking for an exemption for half of the private road charges set by the Broom Lane Property Owners Association at this time, and wait for the association to discuss the request at their annual general meeting prior to agreeing to a partial exemption. And I so move.
Moved by Councillor Greek, seconded by Councillor Statton. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. This next one, 11.1.3, again, Councillor Greek, this is a request to levy private road maintenance charge for the Lower Cabin Road.
Thank you. To Her Honor, Mayor Bolivar-Getson and members of council, I move that Municipal Council levy a maintenance charge within the charge area identified by the Lower Cabin Road Maintenance Association as a uniform amount per lot based on occupancy, with the 2023-24 charge being set at $250 per lot for full-time residents, $125 per lot for seasonal residents, no charge for vacant lots. Subject to an agreement between the municipality and the Lower Cabin Road Maintenance Association that satisfies the requirements of Section 9 of the Private Roads Bylaw.
Moved by Councillor Greek. Is there a seconded by Councillor Moore? And Councillor Moore has a question.
Maybe I missed it when I went through the agenda, but normally the petition
is added in with the information in our agenda so that we see the ones that have signed. Wonder if that could happen sometime in the next future. In the next future.
Yeah. Or if that could be provided to, if that's something that has in the past been included. We have our Director of Planning, Jeff Merrill.
Yeah, in the I'll clarify. In the past, we have put those on, but in the more recent past, we've been taking them off because it has the people's names on them, and it usually they're quite long, but we can provide that to councillors.
I remember that we used to show them. So I mean, if
if you could include those in future, that would be.
Yep, no problem.
Any further discussion on the motion? Question called for. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. We will go to 11.1.4, and this is a letter of concurrence for policy MDL 69, antenna siting protocol. And this is required by the installer before they can move forward. They need a recommendation from council, and I am going to comment on the location of this one because, boy, this is in dire need in this area of the Oak Hill, and I would ask Councillor Statton if she'd be prepared to move this motion.
Yes, I will, and I think their public meeting went really well for it.
Excellent.
So, yeah. To her honor, Mayor Balvergetson and members of council, I move that Municipal Council issue a letter of concurrence for a telecommunication tower at PID 602-483-41569 Oak Hill Road, Oak Hill, as the applicant has met the requirements of MDL 69 antenna setting protocol.
Moved by Councillor Statton, seconded by Councillor Vino. Discussion on the motion. Again, this is to improve cell service in our area, and we definitely do need towers. There's no doubt in my mind. Seeing none, all those in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. We will move down to 11.1.5, Kingsburg Coastal Conservancy, Shawback Wetlands Carbon Project. And who is taking the lead on this one? We have our Director of Recreation, Trudy Payne, with us. Welcome, Trudy.
Yes, in your package, on December the 6th, 2020, the Kingsburg Coastal Conservancy came and made a presentation to the Finance Committee. They were looking at submitting an application to the Sustainable Communities Challenge Fund to do a study on wetlands and how they can store the soil carbon on Earth and how the understanding and the actual quantity and distribution of carbon is stored in them. I understand that this is research that hasn't been done, so this would be unique to this area. Part of their request was for council to support the project financially, requesting $30,000 over 2 years for a total of $60,000. So Abi has, before he went to visit his family, to help me put the memo together. He gave a little bit of background that you're well aware of. In 2019, the municipality did declare a climate emergency, and they did develop a 10-year local climate change action plan. And some of the targets that the municipality is looking to achieve, reducing the community emissions by 30% below the 2019 baseline emissions level by 2030, 65% below 2019 levels by 2040, and achieve net zero community emissions by 2050. So as part of the discussion, wetlands are one of the highest stores of soil carbon on Earth. As I had stated, there is little understanding of the actual quantity and distribution of carbon stored in them. The proposed project that the KCC has been proposing to the Sustainable Communities Challenge Fund would contribute significantly in assessing the wetlands' carbon storage capacity, determining ways to further enhance their performance as carbon sinks, and evaluating the ecological services provided by these wetlands. In discussion with members of the KCC, I understand that wetlands provide this even better than our forest and our trees. In particular, the project would contribute significantly towards MODLC's emission reduction and land conservation targets and make a stronger business case for MODL to protect and preserve these carbon sinks from getting destroyed, drained, or encroached upon by development. Besides safeguarding our carbon sinks and natural assets, the project will also protect and enhance biodiversity in these areas while improving the community's climate resilience. ABI has included in the memo some of the carbon offset credit systems that could be possible as a possibility for the municipality and any future landowners to use these wetlands to get carbon credits. And after ABI explained it a little bit better to me, I have a better understanding. So hopefully explained it well in the report. Mm-hmm. I won't go through that. I did include in the report the KCC's five-phase project, which is really looking at a research portion initially involving a number of academic institutions, particularly Dalhousie University. I understand that there is a professor there that is donating his time in the research. Some of the funds is that they are requesting, and part of the overall project is to hire a student to help this professor. They've also engaged the indigenous community, and there is a gentleman that lives in Lunenburg County that has agreed to sit on this steering committee if this project is successful. In phase three, I won't go through each one, but in phase three, they are looking at developing a carbon storage capacity plan, which would include gathering indigenous ecological knowledge from the Acadia First Nations community. And phase five, once all the research and the plan is developed, they're looking at conducting a very meaningful public engagement campaign to raise awareness, gather and present community responses, and encourage local communities to support and implement the proposed measures. So the recommendation that's being provided by staff, and the motion I believe you have before you, is to approve the funding of $60,000 to the Kingsburg Coastal Conservancy Showback Wetlands Carbon Project, budgeting $30,000 in the upcoming fiscal year, so 2023-24, and $30,000 in fiscal 24-25. And, of course, part of the motion is it would be conditional. They'd only be released if the KCC is successful in its application. So I do want to point out that the project is going to be led, if they're successful, by the KCC. The MODL sustainability planner and myself would act as supporting resources, but they will be the boots on the ground doing day-to-day, doing all the heavy lifting. The First Nations Acadia Band Ecology Manager will also be providing overall project guidance. But again, the day-to-day project management will be the KCC. Are there any questions?
Councillor Vino.
First, a clarification. This is the exact group that we've already given $360,000 to. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's the land.
For the purchase of land.
The purchase of land, yeah.
Okay. My concern with approving the $60,000 is looking ahead at the other phases and wondering if there'll be more asked to come back to provide funds for professional services and mapping. And there's only so much to go around in a very large municipality. Thank you.
So I didn't highlight the budget piece. They are proposing it would be a two-year project. They're asking for $260,400, if my memory serves me correct, from the Sustainable Communities Challenge Fund. They've applied for $20,000 for the Nova Scotia Liquor Commission's Community Fund and accessing $15,000 or applied for from a foundation that provides funding to support the students' wages. And the rest would come from the KCC through a community awareness campaign. They would be fundraising.
Thank you. Councillor Bell.
Thank you. When we declared the climate emergency in 2019, I was certainly behind that. And in 2022, I was happy to support the $360,000 for the land purchase. But this new request, making it a three-year commitment of funds, I'm somewhat reluctant to support. The federal government should be taking a larger role in this concept, and I do recognize that there has been some recent federal announcements about doing just these types of projects, but I don't see them identified here directly. I also recognize the volunteer human resources being donated are very worthy of both the Acadia First Nations and the professor at Halifax University. However, I still have a reluctance in supporting this additional funding. So I'd like to hear what my other colleagues say before I make a decision.
Councillor DeLong.
Thank you very much. I think this sounds like a really interesting test case, particularly in our municipality, which has, I believe, over 4,000 wetlands. If this allows us to access federal money for carbon credit transfer, then I think that this is a great test case for us to be involved in. So my support is behind it.
Councillor Haysom.
Thank you very much. Just to be clear, it is a two-year commitment of funds, the $30,000 each year. Last week, I think, at our policy and strategy, we looked at our budget variances, and there's definitely room within our sustainability budget. There was a budget line amount that hasn't been spent for the 2022-2023 year. This is clearly a very good fit, and I think it's wonderful, so I'm happy to support it.
Councillor Oigle.
I'm not quite clear of what the project's planned outcome is. Could you please review that? Like, what is the reason for it, and what is their hope of the plan?
So I'll refer to the page that has the five-phase project, and I do have members of the KCC here that perhaps can answer the question better than me, but I will attempt to. So the first piece is to do the research and create a document that the wetland carbon absorption process, quantify the storage they're currently providing, and research measures to potentially increase carbon absorption capacity. So they know that wetlands can absorb it, but they don't. My understanding is there's never been a test of how much they can absorb and if they can absorb more, which then ties into the carbon offset credit system. So they're looking at developing that carbon storage capacity plan, which is going to include gathering the indigenous ecological knowledge from the Acadia First Nations. So they're going to be boots on the ground using that information. They're going to contract professional services to provide the aerial and field mapping of the Shoback and perform field wetland assessments and inventory. I feel like I'm not the expert in this field. And then they'll develop a research plan based on phase three results. So this would include measuring and evaluating the results and providing recommendations to the municipality towards their local climate change plan for 2030. KCC Land Stewardship Program and Ecosystems Values with Indigenous Traditional Ecological Knowledge. The project will develop a fields research and monitoring plan for wetlands and create a framework, so this is one of the outcomes, create a framework for investigating other wetlands within Lunenburg County for carbon sinks. So this could be a model, if it's successful, that could be used not only by this municipality, but it could be used by other municipalities or other nonprofit organizations, anyone in the business. So it's really doing that research to establish that could be, if successful, could be a model that others could use. And then the final outcome would be, once this is created, they would conduct a meaningful public engagement campaign, because not all the lands around the Chobec are owned by the KCC or MODL. They are owned by private landowners. So they're aware of this study, the results of this study and research, and for them to gather and present community responses and to encourage local communities also to support and implement the proposed measures. So it's really around protecting wetlands and enhancing that ecological footprint and looking at ways of how wetlands can use around green gas emissions and how it can help in reversing the climate change that we're facing today. So I don't know if that answered your question. It was very long-winded.
Thank you. Supplemental.
Supplementary, Councillor Oigle.
Thank you. So I'm just wondering, with all of that, if it would be something that would be just used by our municipality, or is it within Nova Scotia, or is it information that can be used nationally?
I think it would be information that could be used nationally, internationally. It could be an opportunity, if successful, to be on the cutting edge and perhaps MODL be seen as one of the partnering leaders in this type of research. And speaking with the B, which I'm glad he's not here because he's home for good reasons, but he could probably much more eloquently answer some of these questions. My background's not in climate change. But, yes, yeah, certainly, and it is being funded if it was approved by the, I think this grant funding that is through provincially, because the NSFM would be supporting this project. So it would be public information. Thank you, Jeff. Jeff is stepping up.
So I just wanted to, the Sustainable Communities Challenge Fund is federally funded.
Federally funded.
And administered through the NSFM.
Yeah, can I just add to the OCOM? So under the carbon offset credit system, this would evaluate the wetland and how much carbon can be put in there now. And so there's the potential that under the carbon offset system that the wetlands could actually generate revenue, because you could sell those carbon credits to polluters. This would study the wetlands to figure out how do you determine the value or the amount of credits that would be contained within that wetland and how much carbon can actually be stored. So there's a potential outcome, potentially could be that the wetlands generate revenue.
Councillor Statton.
Thank you. I'll try to be brief. First off, this is coming for pre-budget approval, which I don't agree with to begin with, because we haven't set the parameters around our 2023-24 budget, and we need to look at it very seriously to see what money we're spending, and I think the taxpayers are expecting some kind of relief from the increase in their overall taxes. So because this is our budget item in the future budget, I think it's premature to put it on the agenda and let it go through as approval. The other part I see with this is that this seems to be a never-ending request from this organization, and I don't see it stopping here. I see it going on and on and on for things that they want to do, and when people ask for money, they can find enough good reasons to ask for it, and they can sustain what they're asking by quoting facts and figures. And if you're looking at this to maybe sell carbon credits, who would you sell those carbon credits to? Someone who wants to build an industry that creates carbon? So you have to look at every aspect of this and say, is this a good fit for the municipal taxpayers' dollars? And for me, it's not, because I see this as a never-ending ask from this organization. They've already got $360,000 last year to buy the land. The land is laying there. It's not going to be developed for any purpose, so it's not going to produce any more carbon or any more environmental hazards because it's saved as an environmental protection, under environmental protection. So for me, I'm not going to support this.
Do did I have any other? I believe that was it for speakers. Oh, sorry. Councillor Bell?
And this is my second time.
Yes.
I realize that. Our previous investment in a program that could be used all across Canada was called a tick bait program, and they won't even share the results with us, the people who host it and invested into it. So I'd be interested to see when the results come back from that program, how much our investment really meant to people across Canada. Now, we're taught you could sell carbon tax credits. Who sells them? When they are sold, does any refund come back to KCC for their investment? Does any money come back to MODL for their investment? Or does this disappear into some type of federal fund that, you know, might be invested in the tar sands project in Alberta? I don't know. There's a lot of questions here that are not answered for me. I just don't have a clear understanding. But I know that investing $400,000 in one group in one area in a short period of time, I will have to answer to somebody, because there are other groups that are looking for investments. I have a museum complex in my area that lost their federal funding, and they could certainly use money like this to help them. So there are other groups out there in other districts, not just mine, but I'd like to share funding if we do have funding, so I'm not going to support this.
Thank you. Okay, Councillor Moore.
Well, I just asked Alice because I thought maybe I missed something, but I usually recommendations come to council meetings from policy and strategy, and I thought, did I miss something that was supposed to be on policy strategy? And I find that discussions like this, and you're kind of put on the spot to make a decision. You've got people in the galley waiting for a decision, and I really, this is the first time I've heard the presentation. This is the first time I've seen the what staff are bringing, which I have, you know, that's fine. But it's just, I'm not comfortable making a decision today on this. I don't understand it enough about carbon tax and this kind of stuff. It would have been nice to have a discussion before this. And I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, because I know that when it's financial requests like this, it goes to council. But, yeah, I'm going to have to vote against it, because I can't vote in favor of it, because I don't know if I am in favor of it. So
this is our normal process for responding to these types of requests.
Yeah.
So we did receive a presentation from the organization. Staff has brought back some analysis showing you where it aligns with strategic plans you've already approved.
Okay.
But it's also totally normal and appropriate for council to have discussions and have differences of opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And council totally has the ability to defer this question, to refer it back to staff for further research, to say no, or to support the staff recommendation. So just because it's on your agenda doesn't mean you're forced into making a decision today.
So I guess I would like to speak on this as well. And I think that this goes hand in hand with the work that we've done with the Sustainability Committee, with some of the objectives that we have put in place. We want the community on side to help us with our sustainability plan. We've put that in place. This definitely will aid in that. As far as pre-budget approval, we do this at different times throughout our budgeting process for things that need to move forward or that there's a timeline associated with it to get to where they need to be at a certain point in the application process. That's not uncommon for us to do that. Yes, we do have some other items that we do need to address, but those items will come to the table. I know, Councillor Bell, you're referring to the Ford Point Museum. And I know that, yes, we are hearing from residents. We have increased assessments this year. And we also have the cap or a cost of living at 8.3. Oh, 6.3. Well, that's better news than the 8.3, but it's still very high compared to what we're used to. So the cap will be altered by that amount because that's linked to the cost of living as well. So residents are going to see a double hit when it comes to their tax bill. So, yes, that is council's prerogative to look at all these things, and as they should be. I think, though, we need to separate the apples and the oranges here, and we need to look at the request for what it is. And if that means you need more information, by all means, we can refer this back to policy and strategy for more discussion. But there will be these requests that will come forward, and this is not out of the norm for it to come forward in this manner. So we may not all be up to speed on carbon tax credits and understand them. But, yes, what we used to call swamps and wetlands and whatever, that was, and I'm going to say it, were useless pieces of land. That was the mentality years ago, have definitely served for migratory birds and a lot of other things that people didn't factor into those things. And we've acquired a lot of this land through subdivision approvals and so on that actually do serve a purpose for carbon tax credits, as does planting trees and everything else that we're talking about in our sustainability plan. So let's remember what direction we've approved for our council. Let's remember our values and whatever, but by all means, if we do not have enough information, then send it back to the table to get the information that you do need. And I have Deputy Mayor Hubley first. You did have your hand up.
Because I was also sitting on the fence, like Councillor Moore, but with what you've said, I think it's information that we need to move forward with the direction we've already put in place, so I will be supporting the motion.
Councillor Moore? But like I said, if people need more information,
I do.
We can provide that information.
I would hate to see this motion be defeated today with not the comfort of knowing why we're defeating it. I'm not ready to vote on this. I would like to see it go back to policy strategy. I know that's probably, I don't know if there's a time frame on this or not, but I mean, we have policy strategy next month. I would like to see it put on a policy strategy meeting just so that I can, myself, I may still vote negative. I don't know. I just don't have enough information.
And I'm going to refer to staff for that, the timeline associated with the...
Well, I think that they're approving the grant one way or the other come February or March, so they did put in their application that council hadn't made a decision, so it's pending. So they're probably going to want a decision one way or the other by the end of February. And I guess I'm also asking, what additional information would it be helpful to bring the grant application in its entirety so that you can...
I really feel that staff needs probably an information or an education session on carbon tax credits and what they mean and how they work. Because, yes, it does mean things from corporations that do our remitters and the offsets that are able to be head through these type of wetlands and trees and everything else. So... Councillor Oikle, Councillor Haysom, and I thought I had a hand. Sorry, Councillor Greek, Councillor Oikle, Councillor Haysom.
I'm good.
Oikle, yeah. Councillor
so,
Oikle.
I thought I knew what I wanted to do, and then hearing more about the project and then also the other councillors' thoughts, I'm with Councillor Moore that I feel that I would like to have this referred to policy and strategy rather than voting on it today.
Councillor Haysom?
Thanks. I just wanted to touch again on the budget issue, that there is money in the budget for sustainability projects. There will be next year as well. When we do our budgeting process, as you know, we plan 5 years out. So if we mm-hmm. know that we're spending this amount this year, we can also plan to spend it that year. It does get factored into our budget. And with sustainability projects, it's really encouraging, I think, to see some of these projects happening in the community as opposed to just focusing on our own corporate emissions. And I think that that's going to be really important in terms of engaging our community to take some action on climate change. So if I would rather see this referred back to policy and strategy so that we can have a better understanding to move forward positively on it, because I am in support of the project, and I do think that it is going to really move forward the goals of the sustainability committee. So thank you. That's all I wanted to mention.
So the money that you were referring to, we actually budget $250,000 a year, but that's capital. So this would be different money than that. Councillor DeLong, and then I would entertain a motion from someone, and the motion would be to defer. Is what the motion would be. Refer, to the Policy and Strategy Committee. Yeah. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Councillor DeLong.
Thank you. I just want to say that I take a slightly different tack on hearing from this group a second time with a second ask. It's not the same as the first ask, which was for the just to conserve the area. This is a new thing that they're bringing to us. This is research that could potentially benefit our municipality and beyond in terms of being able to access federal dollars for carbon credits. So I'm glad that we're going to give it more debate. Thank you.
Okay, so I had Councillor Wynott to make the motion. Councillor Wynott, would you be prepared to refer to policy and strategy, if that's the wish, or to make the motion, whichever way you choose to go.
To Her Honor Mayor Bolivar Getson and members of Council, I move that we refer the request from Shoback to the Policy and Strategy Committee for further study. So moved.
Would someone second that? Second it by Councillor DeLong. And there's no discussion?
You can.
Is there any discussion? Some do, some don't. That's why. Councillor Statton.
I just want to say that we're concerned about the environment. We talk about sustainability, and yet we have the province, Department of Transportation in particular, given permission to cut a stand of perfectly good, healthy trees between the 103 and the Hill mm-hmm. Wynott Road. So how in the hell can we talk sustainability when we got a province pulling off those kind of stunts? So, I mean, where are we in all this? Are we going to be sustainable? Are we going to do studies till they come out our eyeballs and then do nothing about them and not get any results? So we have to think about what we're doing here and where we're doing it and what kind of impact we have on the environment.
Well, I think we recognize that that was wrong, what happened here. Yes. Councillor Bell.
Just clarification. The motion that's on the floor refers to policy and strategy. Are we talking, coming back at the February meeting?
Yes. It will be on the next policy and strategy meeting.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Question called for. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, and we are now going to take a break and come back with 11.1.6.